Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we're exploring a really remarkable project, Queer Music Heritage.
Ah, yes.
For 15 years, right? From January 2000 up to March 2015, it was both a radio show and a website, all dedicated to preserving, you know, sharing the history of LGBT music. So our goal here really is to understand just how vast this online archive is. We're basically using the Queer Music Heritage website itself as our main source.
Well, what jumps out immediately is just the sheer scale, isn't it?
Once.
I mean, over 15 years, that's more than 580 hours of radio programming.
580 hours.
And over like 2,000 web pages. It really speaks to an incredible commitment, you know, documenting a significant chunk of cultural history. It definitely became a key resource online for LGBT music history.
Absolutely. And it's not just sitting there like a museum piece. You can actually go in and listen to or even download every single show.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Just imagine the sheer breadth of music and stories packed into that archive.
And it's still a living thing, even now. The radio show stopped back in 2015, sure, but the website keeps getting updated.
Right, I saw that.
Yeah, we're seeing ongoing updates. Like, just this year, they added a 1957 song called Green Light, which is apparently about condoms.
Really? From 57?
Yeah. And even more early recordings of Beard Rustin from way back in 1949.
Wow, that's fascinating. And it's not just audio, is it? It seems like there's a real effort to bring in, well, all sorts of related stuff.
Definitely.
Since January, they've added recordings that weren't part of their Pansy Craze show, mostly from the 20s and 30s, plus like a ton of clippings and info about pioneering performers.
Right, like who?
Well, names like Ori Amos, Frances Renault, Carol Norman, Jimmy Daniels, early female and male impersonators too, even vintage drag artists like John Lind and Frankie Halfpint Jackson.
Cool. Yeah.
And material on the Jewel Box Review, Billy McAllister, it really paints such a vivid picture of that whole era.
It really does. It starts to uncover these, you know, often overlooked parts of music history. And the website organizes it really well into these compelling special sections.
Like what?
Well, you can explore gay musicals, that section said in recent editions. And then there's what they describe as maybe the largest online collection focused on female and male impersonation.
That sounds huge.
Oh, yeah. It includes things like a drag artist discography, galleries, club information, vintage sheet music, even a whole section just for the Jewel Box Review.
The detail is just incredible. And beyond that, they've got curated sections on women's music, camp music, Stonewall songs, gay marriage songs, even something they call gay ephemera.
It's quite a mix.
And it's not just about the performances, right?
Yeah.
There are tributes to key artists and figures, Gladys Bentley, Michael Callan, Harvey Milk. They even dig into the stories behind specific songs like Sissy Man Blues and Lavender Cowboy. And there's this unique collection of spoken word vinyl. James Baldwin, Gertrude Stein.
Yeah, I saw that. And also that straight artists' queer songs section. What does that suggest, do you think, about how queer themes kind of weave into the mainstream?
That's a really crucial point, I think. It highlights the, well, often subtle, sometimes not so subtle ways queer experiences have shown up in broader music culture.
Exactly. And what's really moving is seeing the personal impact. They share listener feedback on the site.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like an email from a young person south of Houston, closeted, who found real solace and connection listening during a tough time. It just underlines how important these resources are, especially for people feeling isolated.
That really shows the power of this kind of preservation work, doesn't it? And it's significant that the J.D. Doyle Archives, which hosts Queer Music Heritage, is actually a nonprofit.
Right.
And the site even points to books on queer music, sort of placing it within that broader academic conversation.
So yeah, for anyone listening, jddoylearchives.org is just this extraordinary, constantly growing archive. Whether you're, you know, a serious scholar or just curious about LGBT music history, it's an amazing place for discovery.
We definitely encourage you to check out the website. Just immerse yourself in the incredible amount of music and history they've so carefully put together.
Yeah, absolutely. And maybe think about, you know, the role music plays in building community and keeping cultural memory alive. Projects like Queer Music Heritage are just essential for that. They offer a space not just to listen, but to understand and connect with a really vital part of our shared culture. Makes you wonder what other hidden histories are out there waiting for someone to put in that kind of effort.